Now, we just spent the earlier part of this hour talking about a debate at the center of a battle for the soul of America. We want to close today with another battle, but this time for the soul of a sport.
That's right, the important stuff. Let's get to it.
There he is. There he is. I can't see you, but I hear you. Let's check the score on What's at Stake with Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Tiziana. I'm sitting in your chair at the station, actually. It's pretty nice.
I'm really jealous. I love that chair. I love that studio.
Keeping it warm.
It is great
for you.
It is great to talk to you. And I'm going to spoil I'm going to give a spoiler right at the top. We are talking about an existential struggle for the soul of baseball, which is playing out against the backdrop of the World Series. Tell us about it.
That's absolutely right. Basically, what you're seeing between the matchup of the Dodgers and the Rays, it's the superstars versus Moneyball. When you say Moneyball, I think that's become a pretty universal term at this point. Everybody knows what you're talking about, this idea of underappreciated players that maybe aren't the most expensive contracts, but the sum is greater than the parts kind of theory to running a baseball team. The Rays are the analytics team. They basically started this idea of don't pay your superstars big contracts, keep cheap contracts, young talent, maximize team control, and then let them go once they've proven themselves. They brought this idea of openers into baseball, which is instead of starting pitchers that go six or seven innings, they'll bring a guy out to throw the first inning, and then they'll go right to the bullpen. They play everything kind of based on matchups and numbers. It's all about the data and less about what you're seeing on the field.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I'm actually going to round out that Moneyball just a little bit more for listeners. So this is a cumulative approach, not where you get one big player who's going to get on base and hit the home runs, you know, and make great plays in the outfield, but somebody who's going to get you the number of walks that statistically say lead to a win. Somebody who's going to get you, the number of steals, et cetera. So it's like aggregating a bunch of people to be one player, and it's a very different approach. But these teams are in the World Series despite Moneyball playing, Chris. So, you know, a lot of people don't like this model, but it kind of feels like it's working.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the problem. You're looking at the Tampa Bay Rays. They have the third lowest payroll in baseball. If they win a title here, I think that could have pretty major ramifications for a lot of teams, including the Red Sox, and we can get into that. But it furthers this narrative of this game becoming all basically home runs and strikeouts, less action on the field. It's less exciting to watch because there aren't balls in play. There aren't base runners trying to get around the diamond. I have to note, too, it's not exactly a one-for-one here because the Dodgers are run by Andrew Friedman, who basically brought this era to Major League Baseball with the Rays. He's now running baseball operations for the Dodgers. So it's not as if the Dodgers don't believe in this theory and this way of operating. They just have the difference. They're willing to pay for superstars along with the guys that they think are good value.
So, Chris, is this basically like assembly line baseball as opposed to master craftsmanship baseball?
Sort of. I think the problem is that what you've done is you've removed the human element from the sport. So if you've got a pitcher who's out there through six innings, the Rays and teams that are going to start running through this style of operating, they're going to pull that guy because the data shows he's not as good the third time through the lineup. The third time a batter sees the pitcher, he's more likely to get a hit because he's seen his pitches and he's more likely to be locked in. The problem with that is if you've got an ace who is throwing an absolute gem and it's super exciting and use your imagination here. Imagine some fans in the stands, because hopefully we'll get back to that someday. But he's cruising through maybe a two-hit shutout, and he's shutting guys down, striking guys out. You want to see him finish that game. You want to see him go as deep as he can, because that's an exciting element of the sport. The Rays are basically taking that off the table. They say, nope, the data dictates this. We're pulling him out. We're going to the bullpen, regardless of how he looks right now in the moment. So you've really removed that human element.
So do we have a battle in the World Series, or is this just like, you know, watching robots play?
Well, it's a little bit of a battle because, as I said, the Dodgers are at least willing to pay for superstars. And the one that really hurts that I think folks will remember is Mookie Betts, obviously.
There you go.
Yeah. And this hurts to talk about. So I want you to appreciate what I'm doing here. But, you know, Mookie Betts is basically the second best baseball player on the planet, if not the best. And he's absolutely shown it so far through the World Series. I want to play a quick moment from game one on Tuesday.
And he is greeted by Betts, a shot into right, back at the wall, and it's gone. One pitch, one more run, and the first Dodger postseason home run for Mookie Betts, 7-1.
So that was part of an historic night for Mookie. He became the first player in World Series history to hit a home run, have at least two steals, and score at least two runs. He's the second player in World Series history to walk and then steal multiple bases in the same inning. Do you want to guess who the first person was?
No, but you're going to tell me.
Babe Ruth. We're going all the way
oh
back
my God.
To Babe Ruth, the only other person to have done that. Very different game back then, by the way.
So wait, so did you cry or cheer?
I'm really torn in this one. I have real fan anguish watching this World Series because basically the Tampa Bay Rays, they're in the Red Sox division, but L.A. Dodgers, you have to, as a Boston fan, root against L.A. and New York. That's part of our DNA. So I want to see Mookie do well, but to root for an L.A. team is really making me question who I am as a sports fan. I'm having a real issue with that. So thanks for that.
Yeah, happy to bring that pain back up.
Exactly.
But listen, Chris, people who have listened to us over the long stretch now on sports know you are never going to forgive the Red Sox for trading Mookie Betts. And I think that's part of this battle for the soul question, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And the reason they said they traded him is because they thought they would never sign him long term. I just think when you have a guy like Mookie Betts, he plays the game the right way. And I just want to play a quick answer he gave after game one. He was asked, I just told you the historic night he had. He was asked, do you think you did your part in helping your team?
Yes and no. I did a good job tonight, but my main responsibility is to win a World Series, and that's all I'm trying to do.
I just love that. He's not celebrating his own accomplishments. He's all about the team goal. And he's a guy who plays with passion. He goes out there and leaves it all on the line game after game. He was a great clubhouse guy. I just have a real problem when you trade a guy like that. He was a homegrown talent. You're trading him away. You're not willing to pay what it takes to keep him here. It just ensures that this team is basically saying to fans, we're going to be a non-contender for the next few years. Buckle up. It's going to be a ride.
And they have essentially said that. Are they at least expressing now that they're seeing what Mookie is doing? I mean, okay, listeners, Babe Ruth, we traded him from Boston, if you don't know that. And many people think that that is what caused the curse of like 80 years of baseball, of Red Sox baseball not winning a World Series. Are the Sox regretting it now?
First of all, I hate you for phrasing the question that way because I'm thinking no, Nanette in my head here. I can't believe you would even raise the possibility of a curse. No, I mean, Boston is a totally different place as a sports town now. But that's what's so frustrating is that Boston teams should be title contenders every year across the board. They've shown, especially in a sport like baseball, there is no salary cap. So we talked about the very little percentage of money that ownership John Henry essentially was saving by not signing Mookie and not going over the luxury tax. It's just really frustrating to see Chaim Bloom. This is just about his 1-year anniversary this weekend running the baseball operations for the Sox. And Bloom is out of this Tampa Bay mold. So if the Rays go on to win or do well in this World Series, you just hope that it doesn't really emphasize that this is the right approach for the team.
All right, so Chris, you got a minute here. Bring it home. Why is this a battle for the soul of baseball? And more to the point, how does that fit into the larger moment we're in as a country?
So we saw the bickering between ownership and players about money in the offseason. We talked about it. They've been trying to bring in a salary cap, trying to basically move to a model that is more about profits for the team. And I think you have to ask yourself, what are baseball teams supposed to be? Is it just about making money or is it about winning games and entertaining fans? You know, fans are entrenched. They're not going to switch teams just because they don't like the lineup that's on the field. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're a Red Sox fan. So, I mean, if you're just trying to line your pockets, yeah, maybe that's good business. But is that a failure of the social contract? And is it exploiting your workers to just find these guys that are underpaid and put your entire lineup like that out on the field? I think so.
And that is The Score. Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Sitterick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Our engineer today is Marquise Neal. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.